If you have your Bible this morning, turn with us to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Book of Acts, chapter 9, for just a little while. Now, you know the background of this story. We'll not read it all this morning for time's sake. But the Bible tells us that Saul, he's persecuting the church and he's dealing with the Christians in a negative capacity. Amen? But there's something that's taken place in Saul's life and it changes him forever. Praise the Lord. In Acts chapter 9, verse 1, the Bible says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any in this way," that's the Jesus way, the Christian way, "that if they found any in this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." Amen? But the Bible tells us that something happened on the road to Damascus. Yeah. Something happened that changed Paul forever. I thank God for that Damascus experience. Amen? I had a Damascus experience one day. Jesus come by my way. And the Bible says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drank." Now go to verse 17. "Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, and it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Paul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came thither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the high priest? But Paul increased more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Jerusalem, Damascus, proving this is very Christ." As we look at this morning, we see some things taking place. And I'd like to preach for just a little while, if God would be my help, will not be long, on what happens when we come out. What happens when we come out? As I begin to see this, and I begin to see Saul, and he come in, the Bible said that he was breathing threatens and slaughter against the children of Israel. There was something down in the depths of his soul. There was a meanness and a wrath down in his heart. Praise God. God never intended to be there. I believe there's a lot of folks today that's got this same threatening attitude in their lives, and God never intended it to be there. But God's, He's a God that'll deliver you from that. He's a God that'll give you that help and hope that we need this morning to go on for His glory in this present earth we live. I tell you, the Lord's a moving in a mighty way, and there's people today that said God is not doing like He used to do. I want to say this morning, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He changeth not, and I'm glad for that. As the world around us changes and becomes so perverse, I'm thankful today that God's the same, and He don't change, and He don't fit in with the world today. But God is unique, and God's separate, and He's still calling old sinners today, just like He called Brother Saul. Amen. On that road to Damascus, there's a great light shine, and He said, said Saul fell on his face and he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And there was a blindness come on him. Amen. Because of that magnificent light, he couldn't see. And he had to lead him by his hand, amen, up there into the city, to that place that was called Straight. He got him up on Straight Street. And then God sent a man, Ananias. He said, Ananias, he said, I got brother Saul up there on Straight Street. He said, he's been up there 3 days. Amen. He ain't eat a bite. He's praying and fasting. He's trying to figure out the just of this thing. And he says, I had about just enough time to get her figured out. He said, I want you to go by. And I said, well, wait a minute, Lord. I know this man. I've heard of him. He's a great persecutor. Praise God. He's a deceiver. He takes people. He takes God's people, binds them up and carries them to the chief priest where they're persecuted and hung and beat and all these things. Hey, I know this fellow who he is. But God Almighty, he says, that's the man that he used to be. But he's not that way no more. He's somebody that I'm going to use for my glory. He said, I'm going to send him to the Gentiles. Amen. Glory be to God. To a lost and a dying people. And I might compel them, praise God, to come in. I'm going to use him, praise God, to help them to know, praise God, the God of glory. And that Jesus loves them, praise the Lord. Amen. So the Bible tells us here in verse 17 that Ananias goes up there. He went on his way. He went the way God told him to go. And he entered into the house where old Saul was. And you know, Ananias, he's probably still kind of apprehensive. But he goes in there to where Saul is. And the Bible says he put his hands on him. Amen. And he says, Brother Saul, he said, hey, he said, I come in here just to share a little something with you, brother. Amen. I'm glad that we can share with the brethren, ain't you? I'm glad that we can take just a little bit of the good grace of God and pass it down to someone that has a need. I'm glad we can take what we know, praise God. Hey, we don't have to be super saints today. All we got to be is somebody that loves the Lord Jesus Christ and just commit ourselves to Him. Submit and commit, praise God, and put up a resistance. And God will fight the battle for us. That's His holy name. But we see the Bible begin to be fulfilled as God begins to send out, take an old sinner and save him by His marvelous grace and send him to a lost and a dying people. Amen. The Bible says He put His hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me. Amen. He said, hey, he said, you remember that one that you met on the way? Hey, I tell you what, I'm glad this morning I can remember that one that I met on the way. Amen. I met the Lord Jesus Christ on the way. Praise God. Now you got to remember this. Oh, Brother Saul's had 3 days and 3 nights, praise God, to think on it. He'd been thinking about what God had, what he had been and what God wanted to do for him. Amen. He had persecuted the precious Lamb of God. He had persecuted the very one that could forgive him of his sins. See, Paul was a knowledge man. He had said under Gamaliel, he knew, praise God, the law of the prophets. He knew what God's word said according to his God himself, but praise God, he had never rightly applied that word to his life. But praise God, Ananias goes in, he put his hands on old brother Saul and he said, hey, he said, you know the one, praise God, that you met over there on the road, praise God, he said, that one that came to you, he said, he told me to come to you, he said, that you might receive your sight. See, old brother Saul, he had been blind for a long time. He was blind before he ever got on that road to Damascus. He was blind in sin and iniquity. Praise God. He had headed down the wrong path. And now listen, brother Saul, he was sincere in what he was doing, but he was sincerely wrong. I believe there's a lot of people today in this world that we live, they're sincere in what they're doing, but they're sincerely wrong if they don't line up with what God says. We're living in a day in a world that we're saying, you know, the world is telling us that this is right and that's right. But if God says it's wrong, I want to say tonight, praise God, this afternoon, if it's God says it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen. Amen. The world will teach you to have you to believe a lie and be damned. But God, praise God, He gives you the truth in black and white. I praise God that there's no gray areas in here. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if it's right or not what I'm doing. Hey, if God says it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen. He ain't ever changed his mind about that. Amen. He said, hey, he said that old drunkard, if he's a drunkard, praise God, God says it's wrong. Get away from it. You say, well, preacher, it ain't wrong. I don't know why I'm going this direction, but you know, you say, well, preacher, it ain't wrong to have a little drink every now and then. A little social drink, that just makes you a social drunk. Amen. You say, well, the Lord says have a little wine for your stomach's sake. He was talking about grape juice. He was talking about that was not fermented. Amen. He was talking about that would help you with your infirmities of the flesh, but praise God, not make you stupid. Amen. We're living in a world, praise God, and they want to ban our guns and everything else, and they let drunks go every day, and there's over 12,000 a year killed by drunk drivers. Yeah. Amen. And God says it's wrong. He said, hey, listen, you say, well, preacher, how can you say it's wrong? Because he said the priest of God, when it comes to alcohol, we're supposed to leave it alone. Amen. Last time I looked, praise God, he said, it's a child of God, those that are believers are priests unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, hey, don't get mad at me. Take it up with God. He's the one that made it that way. He said, praise God, if we're a child of the God, that we're priests unto Him, praise God, and we're not supposed to partake of those things. Amen. So if you're here this morning, you're taking your little nip. Praise God. God bless your heart. I'm going to pray that God will make you sick every time you take it. Amen. Every time you take that little sip, I hope God use it just make you sick as you can be. Amen. But you know what? I believe if you're a child of God, God will take that desire from you. Amen. He'll take that from you. He'll get rid of that, praise God, and you'll start drinking from the Holy Ghost from another fountain, and you won't desire that stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he said, hey, listen there. He said his eyes was open that you might receive your sight. So what happened, old brother Saul? He began to see. Amen. How did he begin to see? Because truth was revealed. Ain't you glad when truth is revealed? Amen. Amen. When truth is revealed, praise God, we can see. Hey, we know what truth is. The world around us today tries to paint a gray picture, but praise God, I know what truth is. And when God begins to reveal truth, see, what Paul was becoming a part of was revealed truth. That truth, praise God, that Jesus Christ is Lord. That Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and He rose again, praise God. Not that he had put down, not that he had bad mouth, praise God. He realized, praise God, that sect that he had been so strong against was the real truth. Amen. From God of glory. Ain't you glad for truth this morning? The Bible said truth will set you free. Amen. When it sets you free, praise God, you're free indeed. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You begin to get rid of all those old habits. Yeah. Hey, it may take a little bit of time, but God will begin to convict your heart of things that's wrong in your life. Amen. Why? Because the Holy Ghost of God moves in. That Holy Ghost of God that comes from Him, that moves into your heart. And He takes up His abode. The Bible says He indwells us. That means if we'll let Him, He comes in, He kicks off His shoes, makes Himself at home. He cleans off that old table of our life that we used to feast on, and He sets us a new table. Amen. Glory to God. Begins to build us into something that's holy and desirable to God. What happens when we come out? Notice what happens. Number one, he says we begin to see the truth. That truth is revealed and truth is received. See, sometimes truth can be revealed. We can see the truth. We can know the truth, but we have to receive the truth. Amen. We have to accept it as part of our lives. We have to become partakers of the truth. Hey, there's a lot of folks sitting around today that's got a whole lot of head knowledge. They can quote you scriptures and they know all about what God says. But our lives is contrary to what He's saying. So we know the truth, but our lives is not proof of the truth. So what are you saying? I'm saying there's no fruit in our lives. But He said, hey, listen. He said, when you begin to know the truth, fellas, and you begin to live out that truth, when you begin to receive that truth as part of your life, part of who you are, then we begin to have that true sight that we need. Our eyes are opened, amen, praise God. We begin to see, praise God, like we never seen before. See, old brother Saul, hey, he could see before, but he couldn't see things, praise God, the way God was showing him now. God was beginning to show him some things. Amen, give him time to think about it and ponder on the truth. And the truth was setting him free, amen, from that old belief that he had. I believe we need some truth today. They say, well, there's a whole lot of places today that's got this feel-good gospel. Amen. A feel-good religion. Amen. But I will say, praise God, if we get sin, praise God, out of our lives and we repent of what we're doing that's wrong and we seek a godly way and a godly inheritance and a godly direction, praise God, we'll have a feel-good religion. Amen. And it'll be real and it'll be right, praise God, in the day and hour that we live. We can lift up our heads, praise God, proudly before God. And not, I mean, not talking about being boastful, but lifting up to God and say, hey, thank you for what you did. Amen. God's the one that makes the difference in our life. God's the one that changes us, praise God, from that vile creature that we are. Amen. We can try all day long. I've told you 100 times, like people's all time, every year they try to turn over a new leaf. They turn on, and you know what happens when you turn on? Most time it's just as nasty and vile and filthy on the other side as it was on that one. Amen? Until we get God in the picture. We get God and we begin to see truth. We begin to realize what truth is. Truth, you know, truth is important. Amen? When I talk to our young couples when we get married, I emphasize over and over again it's important to be truthful with one another. Amen. It's important, praise God, to always speak the truth. Amen. To always tell the truth. Always be truthful with your spouse, with your people around you. Amen. It's always important to be truthful. Because a lie causes all kinds of problems. Because see, then you got to start keeping up with that lie. Amen. But when your eyes is opened up and you begin to see, praise God, truth, it begins to be revealed to you. Amen. We realize that, praise God, a lie is it's the root of all sin. A lie is where sin comes from. Oliver Wendell Holmes said this. He said, sin has many tools, but a lie is the handle that fits them all. Yeah. Amen. Sin has many tools, but a lie is the handle that fits them all. Amen. It'll fit right in there, anywhere. But the truth, praise God, will set you free. You don't have to worry and keep up with what you've been saying. Because when you know truth and you believe truth and you act on truth, praise God, then you have liberty, praise God. The Lord's on your side. He's helping you. He's moving in you and through you. Praise the Lord. So we see at the first thing, Paul got, he got truth. He got sight. He began to see clearly. Amen. He said, hey, listen, the Bible says now we see through a dark glassly, but then face to face. He said, one of these days, sometimes it's kind of blurred. We don't always understand everything that we know. But praise God, he said, one of these days it's going to be all made plain. When we get to be with our Lord, we're going to see everything as it is, the way he designed it to be. But under that day, praise God, all we can do is just stick with his word, praise God, and let it be part of who we are. Amen. Let it make us into a creature that God could be pleased with. Amen. So we see that his eyes were open. And then notice verse 18, verse 17, the last part, he said, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. He said there was some preparation here in his life. His eyes were open and he began to see and he began to have that fellowship, praise God, inside him, that inward fellowship that would help him to be that person that God desired for him to be. You know what? Without the Holy Ghost of God, you can't ever be what God wants you to be. You say, well, preacher, I just don't feel like there's anything there. Well, praise God. Hey, I'd get a hold of God. I'd get on my knees. I'd pray. I'd seek his faith till I could get the Holy Ghost. I could know that I know that I know, praise God. Hey, was somebody to help me. Amen. I'm going to say, if you've been saved today, he's in you. You may have pushed him to that farthest, darkest corner of your life, but praise God, he's there. And if you get to calling on the Lord and praise God, you get to magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll represent himself. Amen. He'll open up in your heart and he'll show you places that you in your life that you've never seen before. Why? Because that's who he is. That's what God does. Amen. He said, be filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, and immediately there fell from his eyes had been scales. Amen. He began to see like he had never again. Why? Because there had been some preparation in his life. He had begun to think on the things of God. He had begun to reason. Amen. By the Bible, the Lord said, hey, let us reason together. Amen. He said, hey, let me and you just have a little counsel here. He said, let me just talk to you just a little bit. Let me just show you the right way. Ain't you glad, praise God, that God's got a right way and a wrong way. He'll put us on that. Hey, that right way is a straight and a narrow way. And it leads, praise God, to the portals of glory. But that broad way, it leads to destruction. But I want to thank God this morning that God will put us on that narrow path. Praise God, he'll lead us on it all the way to the end of the way, and he'll deliver us in a little while over in glory. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said those scales fell from his eyes. He began to see what was right. He began to see that was pleasing to a holy and righteous God. Amen. And then notice what it says, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Amen. So what he began to do, he began to yield and have an identification. That's what these young fellas here today are saying. They're saying, Lord Jesus, we believe in you. We put our trust in you. And we're going to yield, amen. And we're going to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to go into that watery grave. And we're going to come out in the newness of life, praise God. And just show the world that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're going to serve Him. Amen. We're going to walk with Him because of what He's done for us. We're going to die out to that old man that we were. Amen. You're not that old young man that you used to be, but praise God, you're going to live. You're going to live, rise up and live unto the Lord. Amen. You're going to allow Him to be the Lord of your life, praise God. Allow Him to dictate to you and make you who He wants you to be, not who you want to be. See, we're living in a society and the world wants to make us what they want us to be. But we've messed up. We've messed our youngins up because we're trying to make them what we want them to be. And you know what? What's sad? Most of us are trying to make our youngins to who we wished we would have been. Amen? That's why we get them on the ball field or on the basketball court and we push them because we want to be as good as we thought we should have been. Amen? And they don't care nothing about it most time. But we push them, try to be who we wanted to be. Amen? We should be tricking, desiring them to make them into who God would have them to be. Amen. Amen. In a Godward way, in a Godward manner. But we got our priorities all messed up. I told you before, school is an important thing. It's needful. But praise God, the Word of God instilled in our children is the most important part. It's the most precious thing that we can give them. Amen. Is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It prepares them for eternity. School just prepares them for the here and now. Amen. We need to prepare our children, praise God, for eternal things with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A preparation, a yielding, and an identifying. That's what baptism is. Amen. And then he says not only that, but said he's beginning to receive strength. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Amen. You know how you receive strength? By feeding on the Word of God. Amen. It's by taking this and when Robert and Susie teach you in Sunday school, you take it and you glean out the things that help your heart to grow close to the Lord. And you say, hey, listen, Lord, I want all that you've got for me. I want you to give me that. Feed my soul, praise God. You know why? What makes you spiritually strong? It's when we feed our soul, praise God, the precious things of God. When we begin to give our inward man. See, most time we worry about feeding the outward man. And we let that inward man starve to death. That spiritual part of us. When we ought to be seeking to fill and to feed that inward part of us so that he can be strong. But the Bible said that old Saul got right with God. His eyes was opened up and he began to see, to feed, praise God, the good things of God. He received strength. Look what it goes on to say. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. You see what happened? He began to feed on the things of God. He began to get those good things of God. And he began to relate with the brethren. Now before he was persecuting the church, he was beating them in the head. Amen. Binding up to putting the leather thongs on them and taking them and hauling them off to jail. Persecuting them. Saying bad things about them. Accusing them. But now he's fellowshipping with them. What happens? Hey, I want to say we need to fellowship with the brother. Yes, that's why he said not to fail to assemble ourselves together as customers. Even so, tomorrow as we see the day approaching. We need to be in fellowship. You want me to tell you why? Because it makes us strong. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, well, you know, preacher, I'm saved, but I don't really need to go to church. I know the Lord, and the Lord knows me, and I just really don't need it. Well, let me tell you what that person's going to be. They're going to be weak spiritually. Amen. Amen. We need church. We need God's fellowship, godly fellowship, in order to make us strong. You show me a person, praise God, that don't attend the church of God, the house of God, and praise God, I'll show you a weak Christian. Amen. There's a lot of folks today that sitting at the house that's been saved and made a profession of faith, and they're sitting there and they're the same place they were 25 or 30 or 40 or 50 years ago spiritually, because they're weak, because they've never had the fellowship. Hey, you don't like the fellowship with the children of God, then you're not going to like heaven. Amen. You're going to be very disappointed if you don't like fellowship with God's people, because there's going to be a lot of fellowshipping going on.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I'd probably be a hugging on all of you next when we get to glory. I'll be telling all of you that I love you when I get to glory.
Yeah.
Amen. Why? Because I love you here. And I know if I love you here, I'm going to love you over there even the more. Because, hey, praise God, I'll be running around grabbing you and saying, hey, glory to God, we made it. The help of the Lord. Amen. We get that spiritual strength from the brother. Amen. We receive strength. He receives strength. We receive strength from the brother. Amen. Hey, listen, fellas, don't ever get out of church. Don't ever get away from God. Always stay where you can be fed. I want to tell you this, too. I know you're young men, but one of these days you're going to grow up and you're going to find some little old woman, a little old gal, amen, down at the house of God, preferably. Amen, some little girl that loves the Lord with all her heart, and you and her is going to start a court and you're going to get married. And it's your responsibility to be the spiritual leader of your household. Amen. I'm telling you this now so that you can get an early start. So that you can read and study and pray and seek God's faith. So that you can be the kind of husband, the kind of daddy, the kind of a father that you need to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm saying start now, praise God, preparing for that day. So that you won't be a disappointment to yourself. You won't be a disappointment to those people, that little old gal. And you won't be a disappointment to God. But you can stand before Him one day. And He'll say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. Why? Because you made some preparations. You made some, you prepared, praise God, and you kept yourself close to the Lord. You do that, and hey, the Bible says if you draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. Amen. If you get close to the Lord, you seek a relationship, close relationship. Hey, praise God. Hey, you don't have to look far. And when you get to try and draw close to the Lord, amen, He just swoops in where you are. Amen. You ever been in a situation, it seemed like you was all alone and nobody was there to help you? Hey, several here this morning been in that situation. Seemed like nobody's around, nobody cared. There was no way out. But praise God, the sweet Holy Ghost of God come down to where you was. And He says, hey, it's going to be okay. He said, hey, nobody else got you, but praise God, I do. And He puts them old big loving arms around you, pulls Him to Himself. Amen. He just loves on you for a while and just shows you how much He cares for you. Amen. I believe He done old brother Saul that way. He drawed him unto Himself. He said, son, I love you. You may have persecuted me. You may have put me down. You may have ridiculed my people. But brother, I love you. Amen. And I'm here to help you. So said he went out and he gathered with the brethren. Amen. He made himself strong with God's people. And then the Bible says in straightway. Amen. Straightway. Verse 20 said he preached Christ in the synagogues. That He is the Son of God. Amen. The Bible says that he preached Christ. Amen. Now he preached Christ as the Son of God. He was preaching. Hey, he had ridiculed. He had put God down. He had called God's people just a sect, an old form of religion. But praise God, here he said, hey, I know who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. He was preaching Him in full deity. Amen. Magnifying Him as the God of glory, the God, the Savior of the world. He said, this is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed of God. He said, he's the real thing. Amen. He began to preach it in the synagogue. He began to proclaim it. Proclaim His deity as the Son of God. You know who Jesus is? He's the Son of God. He's God. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It's all three in one. They're all the same.
Amen.
The power of God is in them. And Paul said, hey, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, that one whom I persecuted, said He is the Son of God. Amen. Praise the Lord, just like He said He was. Amen. So we see Paul, he began to preach. I tell you, when we begin to get in the right place with God, we begin to want to tell somebody about it. Amen. You know, the Bible called us all to be witnesses for Jesus. Amen. We're all of us are supposed to proclaim the gospel. boy, we've let down. We was talking Corey's papaw yesterday. And we was talking about how we've let down in our society and how we've lost generations. We've lost generations because we haven't done what we supposed to have done. We haven't been what we were supposed to be. But it's time to take that back, fellas. It's time to step up, mamas and daddies, grandmas and grandpas, and say, hey, listen, we're not going to do it the way we used to do it. We're going to step up, praise God, and we're going to trust the Lord, and we're going to go the right way.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to follow the leadership of a holy and righteous God. We're going to get in there and go for Him. Amen. Going to surrender ourselves and our lives, praise God, to a holy and a righteous God, knowing that He knows best for me and you. He knows best. And the Bible said He went in the synagogues and He began to preach. The very place we used to go and drag them out by the hair of the head, bound up, and carry them up to Pilate. Amen. But He said He went and He began to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice what takes place. Have you ever noticed when you get to proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ, magnifying His name, how people around you, they just go, you know why? Because they're not used to hearing it. Amen. That's why they're not used to hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 21 said, but all that heard Him were amazed and said, is not this He that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that He might bring them bound unto the chief priest? Who, ain't this that fellow, that Saul of Tarsus? Ain't he the one that was persecuting and tearing down? Now listen at him now. He's preaching the oracles of God. I mean, it's just like it's coming from God. Amen. It's coming out of his mouth. He's proclaiming Jesus as the Son of God. I can just see him, Brother Aaron, as someone of them pokes and say, hey, what got into him? Yeah. Amen. They ought to be, hey, listen, I won't say today, pray. People ought to be poking one another and they ought to be pointing at you and saying, hey, what got into him? I want to tell you what got into Jesus, praise God, into Saul, and praise God, it was Jesus Christ the Lord, the precious Lamb of God. He moved into his heart, and he began to manifest himself. And Paul began to preach the gospel, amen, of the Lord Jesus Christ. That good news. He said, hey, I've told you bad things, I've been mean, but praise God, let me tell you the good news. Jesus has came, praise God. And He died for the sins of the world. This same Jesus, praise God, that we persecuted, put down, He's the Savior of mankind. He died for the sins of the world that you could go free. But then the Bible says in verse 22, it said, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving this is very Christ. Amen. He said, hey, he said, listen, he said, because of the baptism of the Holy Ghost of God, because of what had come into his heart, because of those new desires that he had in his for his life, he said, hey, listen, let me tell you, this is the very Christ. This is the very one. Amen. Let me tell you about him. Hey, listen, don't ever be afraid to tell somebody about Jesus. Me and Bill was talking about that yesterday. We was visiting. And you know, sometimes we go to a door and you knock on a door and you're kind of apprehensive. Well, they may come out and run you off. But you know what? That may be the very door that somebody's been sitting there waiting for somebody to come tell them about Jesus. The only reason they ain't been to the house of God is because somebody hadn't knocked on their door and told them about Jesus. Invited them to come up. They may just be waiting. Wait, they're waiting. There's a lot of people today, I believe, that's waiting on something. They're waiting on somebody to knock on the door. You know what? If we don't go knock on their door, we don't invite them to the house of God, we don't tell them about Jesus, the world's going to tell them about something else. Amen. You know who the prince and power of this present world is? The old deceiver, the devil. And he ain't going to tell them the truth because he's full of lies. But I want to say, praise God, we've got one this morning that tells us the truth. So, hey, praise God, when we begin to see the truth, like we're going to do today, we're baptized. It won't save you. Baptizing you won't save you. You say, preacher, I'm saved because I got baptized. Hey, it baptizing you won't save you. You can go into that water. You can be baptized till every fish in the stream know your name and your social security number. You go down a dirty sinner and you'll come out a wet sinner. Amen? But praise God, that won't save you. What saves you is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Holy Ghost of God deals with your heart and shows you that you're an old sinner in need of a Savior. Amen. When He convicts you of your sin. Like He did old Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was, he thought he was doing right. He was sincere in what he done. But he was sincerely wrong. Amen. Till he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Amen. And God moved in. Holy Ghost of God began to deal with his heart. And he said, hey, listen, said I, Lord, what would you have me to do? What do I need to do, Lord? And he said, hey, just trust in my name. Just believe on me. Amen. The one that to save you from your sins. Hey, that's what he's saying to us today, old sinners, sinner friend. He said, hey, just trust in me. Because I died for the sins of the world. I died for you. Amen. I died for you. And then accept the Lord Jesus Christ and then be baptized. It's a good thing to be baptized. To show that we're identifying with Christ Jesus. His death, burial, and His resurrection. That we're coming out of there in newness of life. Amen. When we come out, what happens when we come out? We ought to come out with that newness of life. Amen. When Paul come out, he come out with that newness of life because of what had taken place down in his soul. When we come out, we ought to come out with newness of life. We ought to come out with a new attitude, a new action, and get this one, a new reaction. Amen. Our reaction shouldn't be the same as it used to be. We ought to be different. Praise God. Thanks because of the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did for us.